Blog Talk Radio.
Unwrap. Hidden beach. What? Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, and we welcome you once again to a very special episode of the PRF Table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Brother Feaster, once again, is with me as well. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I am doing fabulous and fantastic. Excited about tonight.
I'm excited, too. You know, we've been talking about death for the last two shows, so for those of you who may be just tuning in for the first time, please go back and listen to the archives on the Blog Talk Radio spot. I'll go ahead and provide that information shortly or throughout the show. But as one of the hosts of this show, we thank you for taking your time out on Thursday night. We know that the basketball game is coming on at 9 o'clock, but myself and Brother Feaster, we have to tend to God's business. And the way we believe is if there is some help that you are needing in regards to your debt problems, then you'll be here and you'll listen as long as you need to listen. Those who are playing on the basketball court, they're getting paid, and they may not have any debt problems. So for those of you who need it, we thank you for taking the time out. We hope at 9 o'clock, as the show continues on, that you will stay with us. You can put the TV on mute, and you can just keep on listening to the PRF Table and let God have his way. Tonight, as we did last week, what we're going to do is we're really going to just have some more serious dialogue about debt. And when I say serious, I'm not talking about, as I said before, that super spiritual talk. I'm not talking about quick solutions because that's not what we're about. We're talking about having some open and honest conversations about debt, and we're really trying to help people break free or get liberated from this awful calamity of debt. Tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen, is entitled Relieving the Pressures of Debt. Relieving the Pressures of Debt. And as we've talked about over the last two shows, it has become very, very apparent that it's not so much that people want to be debt-free. It's really that people want some pressure from the debt situations in which they're in. So tonight, that's what we're going to deal with. Brother Feaster, do you have anything that you have for our listening audience in regards to last week's show or anything you want to start off tonight's show with?
All I want to say is that if last week's show is anything like, if this week's show is anything like last week's show, I'm in for a treat, you're in it for a treat, we're all in for a treat. So I'm excitedly anticipating this show.
Amen to that. Well, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show is Relieving the Pressures of Debt. And as you say, we're not individuals on this show that have all of the answers. But what we're hoping and praying for is that if there is something that we can say that can help you with your situation, we praise God for that. If there is something that you know has worked in your life in regards to your debt situation, we want you to press one of your dial pad. We want you to share that with us. If you are listening to us live or if you're listening to us on the Internet, you still have the option also of following us on the show on the PRF Facebook page, which is possessions.resources.finances. We'll be gearing up some conversation, looking at the comments that some of you post, and we'll just kick it off from there. Last week we dealt with, and this is just to go directly into the show, we focused on three questions. And one of those questions, I think, is where we're going to actually kick off tonight's show with. And that question is what you're doing to get out of debt practical for your solution? And I think that's kind of where, Brother Feaster, we left off with, or we had, you know, significant amount of conversation. And for those of you who maybe just tuning in to us for the first time, in reality, we're not trying to just give you an hour, hour and a half of good information and let you just go on. We really want you to be able to take the information, take the practical solutions that come from where we're at, and as we bring those practical solutions to you and you apply those practical solutions to your life, we want you to come back onto the show and share with us. Let us know how it worked for you. And if there's something else that you've been able to do that works for you, by all means, come back and let us know that as well. So let me just recap a little bit about last week. Tonight, as I mentioned just recently, we're going to be dealing with the second question that we posed last week. But the first question was, what is debt a result of? and Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders, they brought a lot to the table. And just as a brief recap, what is that a result of? Lifestyle desires. Brother Feaster, you were talking about greed and the amount of greed that you actually had. Talking about lack of education about credit, unable to manage credit, unable to manage money, lack of stewardship, being ignorant about credit reports, unfortunate life situations, lack of savings, no plan to repay credit, slow to pay down debts because of high interest rates, refusal to enact biblical principles about debt for those of us who are believers, and even waiting too long to get a handle on the debt before it really gets to a bad situation. And I think the number one factor that we could gain from our last couple of shows, Brother Feaster, and please jump in and let me know if you agree or disagree, but pride is one of those things that has really held a lot of people from getting the help that they need regarding their debt situations. So out of all of those things that you and Sister Sanders mentioned last week, you and I both know that pride was connected to so many of them. Did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. But again, I want to look at the other side of that, because a lot of times pride keeps us from getting help, but a lot of times on the other side of that, pride also gets us further and further in debt. So it's really the full spectrum of pride. I mean, sometimes we're sitting there and because of pride, we don't want to go get help. But then on the flip side of that, because I am at a certain position or I feel like I should be in a certain place, then pride is going to keep me going further and further into that. So I really believe pride has a lot to deal with. It has a lot going on with it. It is that and being selfish. I think those are two major factors in debt on the negative side, I mean, you really brought out a lot last week that really got me thinking about, not all debt is bad. Not all debt is acquired in a negative sense. Sometimes debt just happens. And I never, ever really looked at sometimes debt just happens. So that, I mean, I kind of trailed off a little bit, but that's what eye-opening to me from last week. It was very eye-opening to me last week.
And if you remember, one of the things that Brother Priest was talking about, we talked about the different types of debt, and we didn't get real deep in them, but we just gave over. You said there are some legitimate debts that people have. So, for example, the house that I live in, that is a legitimate debt. I didn't pay too much for the house. My house note is not too much. I'm able to manage it. But just like so many people, legitimate debts cause people to get in bad situations when certain life changes happen. So for that individual who was able to pay their car note with no problem, for that individual who was able to pay their house note with no problem, is able to pay their credit card bills with no problem, and then all of a sudden a sickness or an illness attacks, or something happens to a family member unexpectedly. And they may not have the amount of savings that can take them through 3 years of helping the family member go through chemotherapy. That's why we wanted to be so intentional about making sure that people understood that this thing, debt is not a bad word. We have to be smart enough to break it down and say, what are we talking about? Just like you did, Brother Feaster. You said, okay, you talked about, I brought up pride. And as I brought up pride, you said, there's a couple aspects to it. It affects these different areas. And that's the type of honest and open conversations that we really need to have to be able to really dig deep into this situation. One of the things that I wanted to do tonight, Brother Feaster, unless you had something else, I really wanted us to talk to the people about what are some things that they can do to get out of debt, or what are some things that they can do to relieve the pressures of the debt. And let me start it up from here, and then I'll let you just have it, brother. Talking to a brother at church the other day, and he knows we were talking about debt on the show. And he talks about his debt, and he talks about how he's 61, 62 years old, and he says, I'm not going to be able to retire when I'm 65. Brother, why? That's my question. Why are you not going to be able to retire when you're 65? Because I have so much debt. And I gave him this analogy. I said, give me your hand for a minute. And I grabbed his hand. I said, now imagine I'm, very, very, very muscular. I'm kind of tall, and, I'm kind of strong in my own mind, I guess. But imagine I'm squeezing your hand and it is just excruciating pain. You're not so much focused on the fact that you wish that I let your hand go. What you're really, really looking for is that I relieve the pressure on your hand so it doesn't hurt as much. You see what I'm saying? And that's the vein, brother, and I'm going to toss it over to you. That's the vein that I want us to come tonight, because we can talk all day long about what are the causes of debt. Why did you get into debt? Why didn't you have this in place? Why didn't you have that in place? And so many people are at that place. So many people have already heard that. So what has been given to me, what I believe God wants us to do on this show, is say, let's give the people some practical solutions. Let's give the people some things that they can actually sink their teeth into and say, this may be one thing that I need to do. Does that make sense, bro? And I'll let you, you know, go where you want to go with it, bro.
I'm sitting here listening to what you're saying. I like that analogy. I remember my father in the ministry, and let me say this first. I'm still, I don't want to use the word struggling. I'm still getting used to understanding the negative and positive sides of debt. So my thoughts may bounce back and forth as I'm trying to deal with it within my own self. But I remember a couple of years ago, my father in the ministry, this simple thing, he's talking about debt. And pretty much he said, you got to pay your way out of debt. And over the years of me thinking about that and really understanding that, it's something as simple as what it took to get you in debt is what it's going to take you to get out of debt. If money management got you in debt, money management is going to get you out of debt. It may be poor on one side and better on the other side, but still it's money management. If buying everything that you didn't need got you in debt, then, you know, buying everything that you need, well, everything that you didn't need to get got you in debt, then buying the things that you need is going to get you out of debt. So it's really, you know, what it took for us to get in debt is what it's going to take for us to get out of debt. We got to pay our way out. We got to buy our way out. We have to come up with a plan. We have to come up with a possible solution. And you know, it may not be a short-term answer. It requires patience. That's one of my issues. My issue, I'm speaking about me, that's my issue, is that a lot of times, matter of fact, I was sitting in a meeting today, and it's a task force meeting. We're talking about, you know, the way ahead. And I'm sitting here listening to this meeting, and I asked myself the question, how do we solve a problem that we need the answer to right now, but it's going to take us probably as long as it took us to get in the problem to get out of the problem? And a lot of times that's where we are. And I want to shorten it down so I can put it on my Facebook page. But a lot of times that's really what it is. We're at a point right now, in some cases, we're at that point right now where we need the resolve now, but it's going to take close to the amount of time it took us to get in the problem to get out of the problem. Mm-hmm. My sister's trying to lose weight, and she want to lose weight right now. I said, you've been bad eating for 10 years, and you expect to get over this in 10 months? No, it's going to take you probably about the same amount of time to get out as it took you to get in. So we gotta buy our way out, and then we have to have the patience that it's going to take. And that patience might cause us to lose some things that we really don't want to lose. There's an element of sacrifice in this. There's a major element of sacrifice actually in this, because if you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, now you got to sacrifice keeping up with the Joneses. If you were in a situation like you mentioned earlier about the medical situation, and it was just this is a debt that you acquire and it wasn't a bad thing, then you're going to sacrifice some things to get out of this debt. It's the exact same thing. A sacrifice is going to play a major part in this. I mean, you may have to give up that movie. You may have to give up that eating out. You may have to give up that, you know, like I said, and I haven't said in a while, I don't have cable. I don't have cable because it was a waste of money. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are some things that we really got to look through. we got to look through and figure out where is the sacrifice that would, because, I mean, well, I was about to go into this big old theological thing, so let me stop. But that we got to really get into, look at where do we need to sacrifice so that we can really get out of this debt? There's really, and now you're the expert in this, I don't really think that there is a foolproof one-step, five-step plan to get out of debt. It's a process. That's what I understand. It's a process. It was a process to get in debt, be it negatively or positive, then it's going to be a process to get out of debt. And that's kind of...
Okay. And what we want to do is we want to be able to help people understand where they are in the process. That's what PRF does. That's what I do, is helping people understand the process of where they are and where they're trying to get to. You mentioned a good thing for the feaster. You talked about sacrifice and understanding, and I'm going to come back to that, but let's go right now to a call list on the line, calling with the last four of 9246. How you doing this evening?
Wonderful. How are everybody on tonight?
We're doing good. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, what I was thinking is, and I'm often accused of living in a land where unicorns run free and butterflies and rainbows, but it's just really hard for me. Well, I'm not going to say it's hard for me. What I try to do in all things is always find the God factor. And everything that was said tonight is so good, it's so beneficial, and I wish I had have caught it before tonight's show. But what I was thinking is, now, I'm not the most enlightened on this, but the only two ways that I know to get out of debt is either pay it or be forgiven of it. And a lot of times we stop at Equifax,
yeah,
TransUnion, and Experian, but if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then I'm indebted to the owner, not just the operator. If this thing belongs to God, that's where my debt is.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about not paying bills, I'm not talking about not gratifying things or anything of that nature. But it goes for the believer even further than just a payment. If the earth is the Lord and it's the fullness thereof, then my debt is not just the Equifax. It's not just the TransUnion. If he's able to give me what I need to be abundant and to be out of debt, and he hasn't released that, then it's not a matter of just monetarily being in debt. There's something to the owner I haven't paid.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just my input. Thank you so very much for the time, and may God bless.
God bless you. We appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for your comments. You know, what this brother was just speaking about was actually the first lesson in PRF. The first lesson in PRF is God's ownership. And that scripture that he quoted, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, in addition to God owns all the cattle on the hill, I come out the gate with that in that first lesson of PRF to really let everybody understand that everything that you have, everything that you've been given, God made a way for you to get it. Now, hear me when I say what I say. Everything that you have been given, I ain't talking about what you went out there and got. And that's kind of where we are when we talk about debt. Not to be condemning, but I can speak about myself. I have put things on credit. I talked about my cross color gear back in the 90s, my first credit card. Remember, y'all? I know y'all remember that. Go back and listen to the archives, listeners, if you didn't catch it. But I put that on my credit. I went out and purchased it. That was something that I did. God was not involved in that. God made a way for me to have credit to get myself established as a young kid, back in the early days of the military. But I'm the one who chose what to buy. There was no consulting with God. So guess what? The thing that I was still paying on, which was the debt, overlasted the cross-color gear that I brought. Overlasted the money that I took off the car to go hang out in D.C. running into clubs. The gas that I put on that credit card running up and down the road, coming to visit you sometimes, Brother Feaster. You see what I'm saying? You know, even though we weren't doing all that, you know, all that bad stuff. But I'm just saying, I wasn't consulting guy, and that wasn't my lifestyle back then. So in reality, sometimes we are in certain debt situations, of course, because of decisions that we've made. But now here we are right now, in this time, in this space, just like the blind man with Jesus, just like the lame man with Jesus, they were there at that time and at that place, both with those conditions. So I can say as a believer, the question for me is, okay, what am I going to do about it? Am I able to show that same love to deal with that man, to deal with that woman in the place that they are, to be able to help them in their debt situation? And Brother Fisa, if you remember, we got on this subject last week, and I'll make sure I give everybody the link before the show is out tonight. We talked about debt management, that notion of debt management alongside of sin management. And one of the things that I remember talking about was this debt management notion alongside of sin management says that I'm the one who makes determinations or uses my own presuppositions about what's going on in your situation, how you've managed your debt or how you have not managed your debt, and then I use that as an excuse or I use that as a reason why I choose not to help you in your debt situation. But if the person didn't make some decisions, in most cases, they probably wouldn't need any help. If the person had certain things in place, like insurance, they probably wouldn't need any help. So it's not for us to be so critical of that person's debt situation, because in reality, like I said last week, Brother Feaster, I can give somebody who is in debt some money, and that can satisfy their debt. Pay it or be forgiven for it. So now I've given you the money, you take the money, you pay it, but what did you learn in the process? What's the expectation that you have? Go ahead, bro.
That statement right there just made me think of something that I never even thought about, and it's something so simple that I'm surprised I didn't. It made me think that debt, and I just said it last time I said something, debt is a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process, getting in and getting out. In most cases, some cases, we may be unaware of the process. Now, the example you gave about, you know, the medical situation, that process we are aware about. But then, you know, your cross color, you were not aware about that one, but it was still a process. So, and again, you're the subject matter expert on this. Do we ever get into debt, like, in a split second, in an instant, without even knowing? And I'm not saying we go out and spend, you know, $1,000 and our limit was only $200. No, I'm saying, are we ever in debt at a moment's notice with no notification that it happened? I don't think so. I think it may be a process that we're unaware of, but it's still a process.
Let me give you a response to that, Brother Feaster. I don't think it's so much of people not knowing that. I'll give you a perfect example. Somebody goes to the hospital, have to call 911. 911 picks them up, they go to the hospital. A family member goes with them. Let's say it's a husband or it's a wife. When they get there, they're going to sign papers. Hospital wants to have an idea who's going to pay for this. In reality, brother, if it's a family member, somebody's going to sign that paper saying, okay, we understand that there's going to be some fees for this. And they're not going to be thinking about that. I can easily say, and which I wouldn't, but it can be easy to say, man, how did this person get up, you know, have all this obligation on them? Why did they co-sign on this debt? But in that situation, it's too great. I don't think a reasonable person would agree that they're going to be thinking, you know what, if I sign this paper, I ain't going to have no way of paying it back. Or if I sign this paper on behalf of my husband or on behalf of my wife or behalf of my child, I know they don't have a job, so I don't want to put them in debt. Right now, at that particular time, that situation is about getting them the help that they actually need. And that's why we have to have these type of conversations, breaking the different types of debt that we're talking about in the different situations, because my thing is this. I want people to be liberated. I want people to feel the freedom. I don't want people living in bondage, not just to the debt, but a lot of people are living in bondage to the fact that they have this debt out there. And that other people look at them in certain ways. You think about it on the TV, think about it on the news. I was watching something earlier today, a Senate hearing a little bit earlier, and it's talking about debt. I watched one of my favorite judge shows after I came home from work. Every last one of them was about somebody charging something for somebody else in credit card debt.
Yeah.
People are having a lot of conversations about it, but is anybody saying, let me walk through this process with you to help relieve some of the pressure that you're going through? Give a person an opportunity, and maybe we'll see some different results.
Mm.
Remember I said also, go ahead, brother, unless you got something, I'll keep going. You know me.
No, I'm really just taking it in. I still, even in your example, I still see, now granted, that is the heat of the moment, and we're not thinking about, you know, where we're going to get the money from. We are just more concerned about the situation at hand.
Mm-hmm.
But we still know that is a process. I just don't believe that debt is not a process. I don't see it. Even in that situation, we know that there's a process. We know that we're not thinking about it, but we are aware that there are going to be some bills that accumulate after this.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, when we're going into debt, when we're going through the process, we have some awareness of it. I don't think we blindly wake up one day and all of a sudden we have debt. There is some notion, some understanding of the process that we may not understand the process, but we're familiar with the process. If we sit back and do some thinking, we'll know where that comes from.
Okay. Well, hold that thought, brother.
What I'm trying to do is just go ahead.
Let me get to this call. You done sparked some bunch of people that want to talk and sit down at the table. So let me go through these couple of callers and we'll come back to it. Caller with the last 4-4-9-6-1. You're on the air. How you doing?
Hey, it's me, Paula.
Hey, Paula. How you doing?
Hello, Paula.
I'm fabulous. I'm so glad I remembered to join you guys tonight. In response to what you guys were just saying, you took the words out of my mouth, Brother Dunlap, because just as you stated, a person can be hospitalized and go into debt without knowing it. However, I do understand Brother Feaster's point when he says it's a process, and it is a process. But from my own experience, Brother Feaster, I was in a horrible car accident. It was nearly fatal. And when they took me to the hospital, I was comatose for 3 months. I was unaware that could have very well been a debt, but fortunately for me, I had health insurance at the time. That bill was $300,000. So that could have very well been a debt that I was unaware of. Yes, it was a process because it accumulated over the time span of 3 months, but at the same time, had my husband not had health insurance, I wouldn't have been covered, and I would have accumulated that debt unknowingly in that process. So both of you guys are absolutely correct in what you say. It is a process, but people can get into debt unknowingly. So, you know, debt is it's an unfortunate thing for most people, but if you manage it properly, I believe that it can be a positive as well.
And Paula, you shed some light on it, and I think, you know, I was looking at a lot of times we don't want to take ownership of our responsibilities, I'm expecting, and maybe this is just me, that one day we're going to talk about all these commercials and stuff talking about you can continue to live your lifestyle and be debt free. You know, because I think that we have alleviated our own responsibility in our acquiring a debt, and it's our responsibility to get out of the debt. And I think that's where I was coming from, because if we know of the process or we understand where it came from, then that's where ownership begins, because it didn't just happen. And I think that's what I'm looking at.
Okay, I totally understand what you're saying. But in most situations, well, not most, but I'll say a slim amount of situations such as the one that I was in, people are unaware. But however, as you said, taking responsibility, even if I had not had health insurance at the time, it would have been my responsibility to be responsible enough and have enough ethics to begin paying on that so that eventually my husband and I could have not had that on us. But as you said, most people don't want to take responsibility. I heard a very long time ago that we, as a race, we buy what we want and we beg for what we need, meaning we'll go get into debt for the things that we really need. And that's a pity, because after you get all those things that you want, you don't have the monies to take care of what you need, so you go and get credit and get into debt when you can't. First of all, you can't pay your bills, so how are you going to pay this debt? You're thinking long term. I'm going to pay this over a time span of 6 months or a year. But once again, it's a need. So with that need being there, we don't pay attention to what we have to do, because there are so many things that come up on a daily basis that we want to do. And I got to say that the media plays a big role in that, because they're always showing our kids these appetizing things, these enticing fashions and the latest fads, and they want it. So we, as a people, not only a race, but as a people, we strive to get those things by any means necessary.
Right. Hold that thought. Let me get to this next caller that's been waiting so patiently on the line. So, caller, you've been waiting so patiently. We thank you. Last four, 7820. Go ahead. You're at the table. Caller with last four, 7820. Maybe they're shy. We'll come back. Caller, if you want to join back in the conversation, press one on your dial pad and let us know, and we'll bring you back on with you on the switchboard. Let me tell you what I kind of disagree with. I think I disagree to a very big extent, and we can do that at the table. That is my responsibility. See, when we say that it's my responsibility, that goes back to that debt management principle. It's not just about my responsibility. How can it be my responsibility if I've never been taught about debt? How can I be held accountable for something that I don't know? We've had shows earlier in this year about needs versus want. Did we not, Brother Feaster?
Right, and that's actually where I was going next. So go continue on, please.
Okay. So if I'm not taught about needs versus want, and then I use credit to get some things that I want and versus things that I need, I don't have good money management skills, then it shouldn't surprise anybody if I get into a debt situation where I'm not able to handle it. But I think I think so many people already kind of know, and that's where I want us to really start focusing on trying to encourage people, because so many people keep hearing about the stuff that they've done to get into debt. Let us talk about some things that can help people get out of debt. When I was almost in bankruptcy about 12 years ago, guess what? I knew why I was in debt. I knew why I was in trouble. I didn't really need nobody to tell me. And again, as a believer, you know, I don't believe that I really need to manage nobody's debt like that to say, the reason you're in this problem is because of da-da-da-da-da. That would be something that I would consider of the world. Because if I'm not going to be willing, and Brother Fisher, you said debt is a process, and I got you coming into it. You know, obtaining debt is a process, but sometimes it's instantaneous. But getting out of debt is a process, but sometimes it's also instantaneous. Remember last week and every week we talked about so far, we talked about 2 Kings chapter 4. That whole process, there were some instantaneous moments in those scriptures. But it was a process that she had to go through, the widow had to go through to get out of debt. Can we maybe try to follow some of those principles of what she did and say, if you try this, trust God and see if God will be able to do the same thing for you in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. The widow went to Elijah. She told him what the problem was. My husband has died. The creditors are coming to take my two sons away. Elijah didn't say, well, he didn't make her feel bad. You see what I'm saying? I see so much love in his response. His response was, what do you have? Not what you want me to do. Not what do you want me to give you. What do you have? So he gave her an opportunity for her to, and that was the first thing that we talked about last week, or one of the first things, was one of the steps to help get out of debt is to evaluate your situation. And I think we have to be careful if we're talking about helping somebody in their debt situation about how we evaluate that person's situation. Because I can tell you, when I was almost at bankruptcy, I didn't want nobody to come to me and say, well, you, all that credit card debt, man, what's going on with you? And even the nicest way of being able to say that to me, well, man, you really made some bad decisions. You know, but God going to help you out. There's a scripture in Colossians that say, let your conversation be full of grace. I'll get the rest of it. And the last part of that scripture says, or the last part of scripture says, which I want to hit to, is so that you may know how to respond to one another.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at how do we respond to this situation of debt so that we can help people. So let me go back to 2 Kings 4. It wasn't just her responsibility. There was a communal responsibility as well. We know if you read the text, it does not say that when she went to her neighbor's house, everybody said, well, why do you need these vases?
Right.
But think about today. Let somebody need some money today. What is something that you can expect them to hear? Well, why you need it?
How long you need it?
When you going to give it back? Don't you got somebody else that you can go to get that from? I ain't got it. Knowing good and doggone well you got it, but you just don't want to be honest about giving it up to somebody. So I'm going to drop the mic right now, and Brother Fisa, I'll let you go ahead and continue, bro.
But, JR, I think we're going to end up going back and forth tonight, because even in that, you show that there is still responsibility. And maybe I need to say, I'm not saying put 100% of the blame on the individual, but the individual is responsible for getting out of debt. So when the widow went to Elijah, she was responsible for, first of all, for going to Elijah. But she was also responsible for doing what he said. And you know, I think that, so let me talk about me, because I haven't talked to everybody. I don't even know everybody online, and I don't know everybody's situation. So I'm just going to talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized I was in debt over my head, and like I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, it was a $2,000 debt, which seemed like $2 million to me, and it was just bad money management. When I realized that I couldn't get out, then my responsibility was acknowledging that my wife had better financial skills than I did. So my responsibility was giving up that right, giving it up and allowing her to take it and run with it. So that's what I was talking about with the responsibility, not necessarily saying that, you know, we told it. Because then my wife had a responsibility of actually taking it and then doing the right thing with it. So, and I think that's what I want to add to that. I'm not saying just totally, you know, it's just 100% on us as individuals. But there is responsibility in the process of getting out of debt, be it negative or positive debt. And that's my final thoughts on that, I guess.
Can we consider one more thing before we go on and try to give some more practical steps? Isn't there a scripture that says we're supposed to be the lenders and not the borrowers?
That is true.
So if there is scripture that says we're supposed to be the lenders and not the borrowers, that means that we have just as much responsibility as the person giving the credit to the person as they have of paying it back.
I'm going to need you to say that again.
If I'm going to lend it to you, I need to be able to say I have just as much responsibility as me giving it to you as you do as the person giving it back to me. See, I can't give it to you. I give it to you. Now, think about where we at in this country. A whole bunch of people were given credit.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, when this thing blew up in everybody's face, now all we're hearing about is it was the bank's fault. You hear that from certain people because of a political climate. But then you hear all of them talking about it's the people's fault. You know they shouldn't have spent that money. You know they didn't get this. Some people are ignorant to the, quote-unquote, from you, Brother Feaster, of the process. But at the same time, they don't have a responsibility to make sure that you are fully educated when they give you credit.
Hmm.
So I always think that this thing is a communal response. I think it's a communal responsibility when we start talking about credit and debt every single time. We can go back and forth on, but let me see if I can get this caller back on the line real quick. Caller, caller from 7820, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How are you doing this evening?
I am doing great. I'm enjoying the conversation. It's two things I would like to say. I want to pick up on Elijah and the widow woman, and I think it's very important for this conversation that God sent Elijah to her. And at that time, with what she had, the little that she had left, she made a decision that she was going to eat it with her son and die. And sometimes people, they look at their circumstances, their situations, whatever the reason why they're in the debt they're in or the situations they're in, they make a decision because they see no way out, no hope, and they say, I'm going to die. You know, I'm just going to take it like it is. And some people, you know, they know they're in debt, and they accept that. They say, well, this it is what it is, and this is the way I'm going to die. This is the way I choose to live. And so when you have opportunities where you are given a chance, whether it's by information, whether it's by giving your last and trusting by faith, or whatever the opportunity is, you just know that that's your opportunity. And so when you are accountable for yourself, just like Reverend Dunlap mentioned before, I believe if you are in a position where you can be a help to someone else, whether it's through information or whether you have the finances, the resources, the education, or you know somebody that knows somebody, there's always opportunity to bring life or bring someone else out. And so that makes you accountable too. And the second thing I want to mention, and it was a conversation that I had earlier with my sister, a friend of hers was upset with her son because he failed. And her son have the latest Jordans, all the name brand clothes, and iPod, iPad. I believe he's not even 8-10 years old and have a cell phone. And she was upset with her son because he failed. And all in one of the conversations was all he talked about is the latest clothes and so forth and so on. And I said to my sister, well, it's her fault. Because her son cannot, he don't have a job. So she want to give him all these things. But I didn't even think about her mentality. Maybe that's the way she was raised and so forth and so on. So I even think with us not knowing, we set our children up to fail. We set them up to be in debt. And it trickles down the generations. So it's like a curse. Keep talking. Well, and, you're doing a great job.
Thank you so much. And I'm a firm believer that curses are made to be broken. I don't think it has to be a curse. I think that if my mother did not make good, sound financial decisions when I was growing up, I have the ability to learn from those, from what I saw, and I have an opportunity to do something different. I have that opportunity. Hopefully I have that opportunity. For some people, some people have to work a whole lot harder than other people when it comes to these different opportunities. So, Sister Paula, did you want to say anything, my sister?
I think you guys are covering it all. I'm just listening and learning.
You know, this is one of the things that I also wanted to bring up. Since she was so kind to just expound on it, you know, there was a couple points, so I guess we can bring them out. The first thing that the widow did in 2 Kings 4 was she sought godly counsel. And we probably could be on that one all day, even though we're not, Brother Feaster. But she sought godly counsel. Now, let me say it like this. I am not saying that if you go to a man or woman of God, that you will get the answer that you're looking for. But if you've never tried that, why not try it now? Some people have tried all types of other things. So why not seek God for who God will send you to? And when I say a man or woman of God, please hear me. I'm not talking about the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know plenty of pastors that are broke and in serious financial debt. So it's not about a pastor. It's about a man or woman of God. If we realize and open ourselves up to the possibilities of God, God can use Brother Feaster, Brother Dunlap, Sister Paula, Sister Sanders, the sister who just called on the show, can use anybody that he decides that he wants to use for your situation. So I would say, you know, as Christians, as believers, we hear all the time, well, everything starts with prayer. Well, why not start with prayer and say, God, lead me to the person that I need to get to help me with this situation. And I just experienced that same, I just experienced what I'm telling you last night with a couple. I mean, last week, matter of fact, on Sunday with a couple who I didn't know. I was in a foreign place. And that same thing that I'm telling everybody right now, see God, that's how the thing happened. This thing is real. There's help out there. The other thing that I would say is this. Recognize that the threat, like this widow did, or recognize that the situation is where it is. Sometimes it's just bad. Can we just say it like that, Brother Feaster? Sometimes it's just a bad situation. I think we were talking last week, Brother Feaster. $3,000 debt may not seem that much to me. But for somebody who is making $6, $7 an hour, that $3,000 debt is monumental. So sometimes people just have to say, okay, I'm in a bad situation. Do you remember seeing this movie called 8 Mile? With
Eminem? Yeah.
It was a movie called 8 Mile. He was a rapper. And they were doing battles. Battles are, for those of you know, who don't know, I will give you a quick little education class. One individual on a microphone, another individual on a microphone. Both of them are saying their rhymes or their raps. And then the crowd is going to decide which one did the better job. And in this particular scene, Eminem was getting his head smashed every single time. Just couldn't win, would freeze up and all of that. And it came a point in time when he said, when he got up there to battle against the guy who everybody knew was going to just kill him in his battle. And what did he do? He flipped the tables on him. He put it all out there on the line about himself. My mom doesn't have a job. My mom is white trash. My mom lives in a trailer park. Yeah, we're this, yeah, we're that, yeah, we're that. And guess what? The dude who everybody expected to win had nothing to say against him. I give that illustration to say this. If you be honest and say, look, this is what's going on. I'm just doing bad right now. I've made some bad decisions. Now the enemy is not able to get into your head anymore.
Right.
And if that person is a man of integrity or a woman of integrity or a man or woman of God operating out of good, honest principles, they won't hold that over your head as well. I told you tonight, I'm not trying to hear about all the reasons why people are in debt. That's not what we're trying to do tonight. Tonight we're talking about real life stuff, real deal things that we can tell people so that they can get freedom from some of this. That may not get any. Go ahead, sister.
Pastor, I absolutely love this table tonight. The feast here is really good, but what I'm especially appreciating is the fact that you're expounding on there is no need to really talk about why I'm in debt or how did I get here. The main thing is finding a solution. And I'm sitting here in anticipation because I, too, have debt that I would like to have diminished. And finding solutions, I believe, is what everybody here tonight will appreciate because we all are here and we want to know, how do I get myself out of this hole? Yeah, how I got here is really not important. The main thing now is getting myself out of it and moving forward and walking towards debt free and obtaining that debt freedom as to where having an understanding of I don't want to be here anymore. I believe that when we appreciate coming out, if we can come up with a valid solution and get out of debt, we will know how to better manage our monies where we won't go back into that bondage again.
So true, so true. You know, one of the other things that I'll say, again, this is about helping people be liberated from the bondage because a lot of it, as I mentioned last week, a lot of it is not just about the actual debt that somebody has hanging over their head. It's how they look at that debt. Let me tell you, I have some debt, but I promise you I don't go to work every day thinking about it. Amen. That's an experience of freedom. That's an experience of peace. Well, God, you know, thank you for giving me a job to be able to take care of these debts. Everybody's not there. That was a process. That is some place where I've been able to get. You see what I'm saying? But everybody's not there. So we do have to recognize that everybody's not at the same place where we're at. And then we can help people a whole lot more. Let me throw another point out there. Focus on what you have within you and among you to help relieve depression. That's what that widow did. She focused on those jars that she had, the jar that she had, and also getting them from the other neighbors. She realized that she had, Brother Peace, I think you said this last week, and I'll just turn it over to you. You said she didn't realize what she had was sitting right there, something to that effect, right?
Yeah, and 'cause I was sitting here like I'm doing right now, looking around my apartment, just thinking about all the things that I have that I could use to manage my debt. Now, notice I didn't say get out of my debt. I said manage my debt.
Amen.
I think that's another thing that I'm just growing in so much knowledge here the past 2-3 weeks. I think let me stop saying we. I'm going to say me because I know me. So I came into this debt thinking, like I said at the beginning of the show, debt was all negative. So we think that if I think that debt is all negative, then I'm going to negatively have a connotation every time my light bill comes. But it's a necessity. Mm-hmm. I want to negatively have a connotation when my water bill comes or when my insurance comes or my car note comes, but my house note. These are debts that are of necessity. Now, we talk about need versus want, so I won't go into that. But if we look at debt as something to manage as opposed to being free of debt, this is me being naive, the only way to be free of debt is to have your own island, grow your own food, have your own well, you know, and make your own candles. But if not, you're going to be indebted to something or somebody. So I am learning, I'm trying to keep saying I am learning it's more about management of the debt. Because the same good debts I have a negative debt that can counteract that. So my car note is a positive debt. But I don't have a whole lot of debt, to tell you the truth. My wife, man, just, I don't really know. But my DVD player that I went, my 48-inch screen TV that I wanted to go get, you know, that is a negative debt. So it's about managing the debt. And so I think, you know, Paula, as you were saying, what is a solution? What's the solution? Well, let's start with something simple, the management of the thought process. How we see it is going to dictate how we deal with it. If we see it as a negative thing, then we're going to treat it negatively. And then, you know, then when we start talking about the negative thinking and all the things that come with negative thinking, we may never find our way out of the situation. But if we look at it as something that I can manage, you know, I was in a meeting today and the question came up, and I've been hearing this a lot lately, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time.
That's a good book, too.
If I look at that elephant as a whole, man, I will never be able to eat this elephant. But if I look at this elephant as one bite at a time, I'm just going to take one bite at a time. I'm going to make it to the end of that elephant. I'm going to make it to the end, and when I eat that last piece, it's going to be enjoyable. So it starts with the way we think about it, because if we manage our debt, then we're understanding that there are some debt that will not go away, or, you know, it's going to be revolving. It may not increase. It may not decrease. It just evolves. I think that's the first start.
I just have a comment really quick, and it's nothing that we can elaborate on, but it fascinated me. I was in Houston on last week, and I was speaking with a gentleman, and he kind of shocked me because he was saying to me, I'm building a home. And I commended him. I mean, that's the American dream. Everybody wants to have a home. And he said, but it's going to take me some time because I'm not financing it. I'm paying for it out of pocket. So, the gentleman is working doubles to get this house done. And I was, like, involved because that's so strange to hear. But he explained to me, he said it just takes a little patience. And
wow.
That's so true. You know, the Bible says patience is a virtue. And one of the issues is we as a people don't want to embrace patience in our lives. We want it right now. And I just thought that was real fascinating of him to share that he's paying for his home cash and it's going to take him some time because he's working to build his home.
That's an excellent thing. And I think if people were to really again, go back to the one of the first points was evaluate your condition. I think that's one of those things. If somebody who is in debt right now and is moving towards relieving the pressures of debt and evaluates their situation and say, you know what, I moved too fast on this. I moved too fast on that. God told me not to buy this car, and I bought it anyway. When a person is able to do that for themselves with the urgence of God or somebody else in a loving manner, then they'll be a whole lot better off when they come out of the process. When the children of Israel were in Babylonian captivity, if they just said, "Who are we free?" and didn't realize what the heck it went on for 70 years and not realize what the and not understood what the prophet was saying, how they got in that mess in the first place, that's a recipe for disaster. Let me tell you where that happens so frequently, in the bankruptcy courts in our country. Nothing wrong with filing bankruptcy if you need to do it. Let me go ahead and give somebody some freedom from that, because I know there's some people out there. We got, you know, 500-600 people listening to this show every week, and we got over 1,000 that's following us on the Facebook page. I want everybody to know you're not a failure if you have debt. If you had to file for bankruptcy, God still loves you. That's the stuff that people need to hear. They need to hear it. I know they need to hear it. I ain't been in that situation, but I see too many people that are in that situation. You're not a failure because you got some debt. Because in the big scheme of things, a whole bunch of people that's talking to some people about their debt situations are just in or as much worse than they may be. You just don't know about it. We look at all these people out in la-la land, as brother said earlier. We look at them, and we see all the stuff that they have going on. But then we hear years later, oh, my goodness, this famous actor is in tax evasion trouble. This famous ball player is this. This famous opera artist is this. This famous baseball player. All these problems, and we say, well, what happened? So having a bunch of money really ain't the solution. Let me shut my mouth and go back. We got a caller that wants to join back at the table again. Caller 7820, how you doing?
You know, that last comment, having a bunch of money is really not the solution. And I was just thinking, well, but anyway, one of the things that I think is very important to mention that when you look at the word debt, it is a fear. And not only is it a fear, it also, when you're in a position like that, it makes you feel ashamed. So a lot of people, they hide in their debt because they're ashamed and they fear. They fear asking for help. They fear telling someone they need help because mm-hmm. of usually the reason why they're in that position is because of bad choices. And when you do look on the outside and you see, you know, or so-and-so seem like they're doing well, and it makes you kind of hide and say, well, I don't want to embarrass myself. And like I said, you tend to, like the widow woman, accept your circumstances until someone come along and give you the opportunity to even if you're scared, you just step out and say, you know what, why not try it? Just like you said, getting counsel, if you never tried it before, why not? So I think that the mindset has to change, that mentality, the fear, all of that. Once you look at it in a different perspective and say, okay, everybody is going through this, not just me, then that will help with a little bit of freedom as well.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Sister Paula, did you have anything else?
I don't. Not right now.
I hear you soaking it all in. And I think I think it's a good thing, right?
It is. It's awesome.
This thing is not about us having all the answers. This thing is I'm going to keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. I really am. This thing is about helping people walk through these processes of relieving the pressures of debt. It is. It's about encouraging people in their debt. You know what? You made a mistake, if it was a mistake, or you had some legitimate debt, you lost your job, that was no fault of your own. So guess what? Don't put yourself in that bubble or allow yourself to be put inside of the bubble of debt that others will place you in to say, you know what, this person just was wasting their money, and that's why they're in that debt situation. Two people living next door to each other, both can be out of work, have a whole bunch of high debt. One may have lost their job because of the company's greediness. The other may have lost their job because they didn't take their butt to work on time and finally got fired. Mm-hmm. Them two people ain't dealing with the same. You don't want to attack both situations the same way. But guess what? You have to be willing to walk with people through the process. We don't even, let me just tell everybody listening under the sound of my voice, there is nobody out there listening that has to say there is no help for us. You got Brother Feaster sitting down at the table. You have Sister Paula sitting down at the table. You have Brother Dunlap sitting at the table. You have Sister Sanders, who sits at the table every week almost. And guess what? It's not that we're saying we're debt-free. We're not, because we don't even believe in the concept of being totally debt-free, as Brother Feaster said. At least I know I don't, and I agree with you, Brother Feaster. So in the big scheme of things, wouldn't it be better if we just tried to work this thing out together as people living in community with one another? I'm going to be honest with you. In most of our neighborhoods, let me just speak about my neighborhood. There's not, in my subdivision, there's probably 100 homes, easy. I can count on one hand how many neighbors that I probably can go to get a jar. Kind of sad, isn't it?
But, J.R., we talked about this a while back. There's, and we didn't talk about this, but we talked about neighborhoods and communities, but there's a difference between a neighborhood and a community. These are not the neighborhoods of old. So you may not know your neighbor, but like we said, this was months ago, what is the community? I mean, something like if we go back to Elijah and the widow, she went to her community. She went to her community, not necessarily her neighbors, but her community. She went to those people that had a commonality, that common bond, that she was able to pull resources from to help her in her situation. So a lot of times we have to understand what community we are in or even what community we have access to.
Well, guess what? Everybody has access to us at the PRF table. jr.dunlap8@gmail.com. Possessions.resources.finances on Facebook. It's there. It's there for the taking. Because some people are not going to come to you, those of you who are listening, and say, let me just help you out of your debt, because most of the people don't know that you're in debt.
Right.
Or they may not know the extent of your debt. So I agree wholeheartedly. Fear, we speak against that fear. Pride, we speak against that pride. Now you have to grab it, whoever's listening. You got to grab it. Run with it. We're available. We're available. I really want people to understand that the pressures of life are going to be there in so many different ways, shapes, or form. And you're not going to be able to control not getting into debt at certain situations in your life. But I agree with you, Brother Feaster. One key thing is, how do you manage it? Nobody has an excuse anymore. The PRF table, you got a seat at the table every single week. Every single week. Let me share a brief experience that I had on Sunday. I was ministering at a certain location. Go there every month to this particular place, my wife and I. And I happened to be out where people were, and I'm trying to keep the confidentiality of it, so that's why I'm kind of stuttering through it. The man of the house asked me to address the people. Had no idea it was coming. I said, oh, my goodness, Lord, give me what to say. I addressed the people, saying some of the same stuff I'm saying. You've taken the first step to come for help. So guess what? You're halfway there. I would love for all the people that are sitting and listening to me right now not to be here next month. But if you got to come back next month, come back next month. Because this ministry right here is here to help you. Say what I had to say. Say what God told me to say. We're winding down, so I'm not going to go into that. I sat down. One of the brothers asked anybody, if you need prayer, come on up. I'm sitting off to the side in the back. Couple comes up. He asked me to come up, so I stood next to him. And then a couple minutes later, as I'm just standing there next to this other brother that's praying for this couple, here comes another couple. And I pray that they're listening. And this couple comes up, an older man, older woman, and I say older than me, you know, outside of the 40s. And what they said was they need help. They were already in a place, in an anointed place of help, but they took one more additional step to say we need further help. That's what I'm talking about. They did just like Elijah did. Or just like the widow did in that story. They took the first step. That is a great thing. I think that is pleasing to God. I think he rejoices when people do that. Didn't know me from Adam. And let me tell you one thing that the wife said. you know what? We've been watching you over these last couple of months. So my brother, Brother Hart, Brother Sherrod, somebody's watching you. That's what my brother said down in Albany. You're right. You never know when somebody's watching you. So our behavior and our character and how we carry ourselves, it makes all the difference in the world. Just because they felt that somebody cared enough to say, I'm open and I'm available to you. So I'm going to work with this couple. Don't know how God is going to work it out. But at least they have a little more hope to get them through the next time. And they know that somebody cares about their situation. And I'm saying some of the same things tonight that I said to them. Doesn't matter what your situation is. What you're trying to do is get help. So guess what? What do I believe that God wants me to do? I think God wants me to help them. Don't know how it's going to happen, y'all, but it's going to happen.
We can all work together and make it happen.
Say again?
We can all work together and make it happen.
That's right. You know, something you said, Sister Paula, was key. When you said, I'm in debt and I want to get out of debt, you know what I thought about? You got some debt that you want to get rid of. I know I got some debt I want to get rid of. Brother Feaster, you know, you good, brother, because, you know, your wife handles, Marie handles everything for you, right?
Yeah, but we got some debt we want to get out of.
All right, let's give an example how this thing can work as well. Can you imagine if all three of us just said, you know what, I got one debt that I want to get rid of. Paula, you say you got one debt that you want to get rid of. Here's how much it is. I say how much mine is. And we say, okay, God, show us how collectively we can help reduce this debt for all three of us.
I love it.
You see what I'm saying? It's some of the simplest things that we can do to help each other. And then that can be a model example for somebody else to say, you know what? That worked.
That's what we call a community.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I was going to say, Paula. Exactly. We are
everybody working together to achieve a common goal. And it works.
Right.
It works. It works.
I remember somebody telling a story, and they was upset when they told the story. How, you know how you drive down the street, especially on a Saturday, and there's groups and groups and groups of people that are washing cars for a certain cause. Well,
right. This
person was telling me about a bunch of guys that woke up one Saturday morning and they wanted to throw this big old party, and they didn't have any money. So what did they do? They went to a gas station and they set up a car wash, and they made enough money to fund their partying that night. And they were upset that they did that. They manipulated the people. I said, why? And I'm thinking to myself, why are you upset? These people, instead of robbing, stealing, or going in debt, these people went out and worked their way through. You know, and I think a lot of cases that's what it all boils down to. We gotta work our way through. We gotta work our way through that. To me, that was a great thing. They came together to fill a need. They came together to fill a need. They came together to on a common, like we're saying, a community. They came together as a community to fill the need.
Don't you guys get the understanding? If organizations can get together and hold fundraisers for curing this and curing that and let's fight this and we can hold a fundraiser and work towards curing each other's debt crisis.
I think it's phenomenal. And this is what I think works very, very well. We must not be concerned about everybody doing it. We can only really be more concerned with what we do.
Yeah.
Think about in the book of Acts, and I think I'll end the show on this note. In the book of Acts, there were thousands among thousands of people in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. Only 120 received the Holy Ghost, or 124 received the Holy Ghost in the upper room. And then when they began speaking in those other languages, it was only 3,000 that got saved. And I don't believe, like I said last week, that God was up in heaven saying, man, I had thousands of people there, but only 3,000 got saved. You know what mattered? The 3,000. That's what mattered at that particular time, at that particular place. So as we do what we can do in the space, in the time, in the places that we have been provided, I think we are going to be very, very good. We'll be that light. And it was from those 3,000 or 120 to those 3,000 to the added daily to the 5,000, and it just blossomed. And here we are 2,000 plus years later talking about something of a community that happened and is working.
Yeah.
So let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going I'm going to post the other shows on the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Please go ahead and like the page. Join us in on the conversation there. I'm going to put the links out there so everybody can just go and listen to some of the previous shows and let God bless you. We're going to put the ones up there about needs versus want and our previous two shows about debt so far. The other thing that we want you to do is just to tune in with us every Thursday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and let God speak into your life based upon what we're providing, what God is speaking through us, and also what you provide and bring to this table so that other people can be blessed and so that we can be blessed, because it's about what we do together, not what we do individually. I'm ecstatic about how God is just taking everything that we've been doing and been working it out for his glory and for his good. Again, my email address is jr.dunlap8@gmail.com. I think I'll go ahead and put that on the PRF page so that if anybody wants to get help, we are there to actually help people. If anybody wants to get help, we are there to help people. If anybody wants to get help, we are there to help people. I've said it 3 times, and I'll continue to say it over and over and over again until people come. And if we don't have the possessions, if we don't have the resources, if we don't have the finances, we'll see what we can do and allow God to use us to be able to help in that situation. So until next week, God bless you. God love you. On behalf of Brother Feaster, Sister Paula, myself, have a wonderful night.
God help me. But we say, great and mighty is our God.
Hallelujah, yes, you are.
Somebody join and say, great and mighty. Say.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Somebody say, great and mighty, say,
great and mighty.